I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan. This is a Masters Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
It's Masters Week on Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
We'll get to a little Masters talk here at some point, although let's be honest, with Rod being out, golf coverage is going to be lacking here.
I don't know anything. Nor have I watched a minute yet.
It's like if I
so
was...
So I'm going to be of zero help.
If we were going to be talking soccer.
Yeah.
Be like the equivalent of that.
I feel like I could help carry a conversation in soccer. And like you could ask questions and I can kind of parry with you back
and forth. No, I'm saying like if we were to talk... If you decided to talk soccer.
That's what I'm saying. No. I feel like with your questions, I could... We could create a segment off of it. What do I give for Masters talk?
Tell me about the greens, Mike. What did the rain and the lack of wind really do for you today when you were watching this?
I wasn't watching it, so I cannot comment. My apologies. I know that Tiger Woods is playing well.
He's playing okay.
Well, he's 4 under. That's good, right?
Yeah, the leaders are at 9, though.
Well, and he's not going to miss the cut.
And he's even on his day.
But the pieces.
Damn it, Mike. No, we'll talk.
I know that Dustin Johnson's tied for first.
We'll talk a little golf, but look, with Rot being gone, you know, we'll dial it back a little bit.
Just a little.
Look, I do love the Masters, but I will tell you that even in major tournaments, I don't pay attention till the weekend. That's not true. You know what? It's like I keep an eye, but I don't watch. Like I keep an eye on a kid all the time. I've watched a child like 4 times in my entire life. I keep an eye on my kid at all times. And by keep an eye, it means more of an ear. You keep an ear. You listen.
You use all 5 senses.
Yes. And then when you hear a loud crash, you hear sort of a ruckus, then you just do this, hey, hey, and then that's it. And then if there's another ruckus, then you respond with, whatever you're doing, knock it off.
Don't make me come up there.
Yes, and then if there's the third ruckus, that's when you do the, by God, do not make me get up.
Oh, I figured the third one would be when you got up to go up.
No, 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 no.
You don't want to get up.
No. The third one is the threat of getting up, and then there's usually a fourth of, I swear, I am going to get up, and when I come up there, there's going to, and then the fifth ruckus, and you're like, damn it. Now I got to get up, and then you got to go figure out what's going on.
Free-range parenting at its finest.
Yes.
It takes 5 ruckuses to get Sue off the couch.
Minimum 5 ruckus, unless there's tears. If there's tears or screams of pain, 2.5 ruckuses. I think one cry or a scream of pain is the equivalent of 2 ruckuses. Now, I'm not going to say that a cry will instantly get me off the couch. No, 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 no. But if there's been a series of ruckuses followed by a cry or a scream, then you have to, it escalates the situation.
What if it's a first time cry of pain and then loud sobbing with dad?
No, no,
no,
no.
That's not getting you up the stairs.
No, you're going to, well, and you can hear, like if you really hear something bad, then you know. But if you just hear the normal cry or scream, you can't get up and deal with that.
It's like that commercial for cat food that's going around right now. Have you seen that one?
No.
The lady has the cat on her and she's feeding the cat. And her daughter yells out, Mom, I hurt myself. And she goes, okay.
Yeah.
And then she goes, there's blood.
Yeah.
And she goes, well, then get two Band-Aids.
There's, I'm a big fan of this one right here. Work it out. Or when in doubt, just blame the older kid and be like, James, knock it off.
Meanwhile, Lily's like,
well, you know, look, if you respond to every cry, right, then you set a precedent that you are there to solve every problem. I am not there to solve every problem. Hence the free range chicken style of parenting. They have to work it out. My philosophy as a father is I just keep it between the navigational buoys, right? The buoy on the left is someone getting seriously hurt and dead. The buoy on the right is ending up on the stripper pole, right? Those are the two buoys. As long as they end up between those two, I'm fine. Sure, one may be a little bit to the right, maybe one to the little bit of the left, but you're in the channel. You're not. Your boat's not crashing into anything. You're still in deep water. You're legit. That's all I'm shooting for.
OnlyFans inside the stripper pole buoy. Stripper pole too far.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, wait, really?
Yeah. You know, hey, whatever. I'm not here to judge anyone. If you tell, like, where, now you're going to get me into a whole other thing. Look, if my kid grew up,
I'm not saying that you would judge them. I'm just saying, where does the line hit?
If you told me that you were like at 20 years old, right, that I was hot enough to where I could make 200 grand a year having an OnlyFans page. Look, I'm not saying that that's a good way to make a living, and I'm not saying that I would encourage anyone to do that, but at the same time, am I going to fault anyone for doing that?
Well, that's why it's your daughter. That's why I'm asking. Does that make it different?
I would not love it, but at the same time, I would expect a really cool Christmas gift.
By not love, I think he means hate.
Yeah, but if she said dad, because my youngest wants to go to like Stanford,
yeah,
right? That's like 65, 70 grand a year, right? Mm-hmm. I can't pay 70 grand a year to go to Stanford.
What are you talking about? You got big radio bucks there.
Clearly.
Buddy.
So if my daughter told me, dad, I'm doing this to pay my way through Stanford, I would be like, hey, take a real long, hard look at this. And this could have lasting repercussions. I would encourage you not to do it, but you're 20 years old. I can't tell you, no, I can't stop you from doing it. And could you really, I would never fault someone for doing something so easy. That makes them so much money.
I know.
I think what happened, like the Kardashian thing, that's the biggest travesty on like, what an absolutely horrid way to pimp out your daughter that mom did with her B, D list, whatever porn with Ray J or whatever. That made her $1 billion. And so I understand that there is some shame involved in that. I promise you that the Kardashian clan is doing just fine. So while I can look down on that and be like, man, I can't believe you did that to their daughter, I'm sure they're all looking around being like, you know what? We're doing pretty good. So who am I to cast judgment? I've done plenty of crap in my life that's stupid and that is probably not in the best practices. And guess what? I didn't make any money for it. All the dumb stuff I've done in my life, all it's led to me is a wrecked body, some mildly funny stories and me passing out in the bushes somewhere. I didn't make any money off of it. So who am I to say like what you should and shouldn't do?
All right.
Navigational buoys.
I was just asking the question of where that fell near the stripper pole. That's all.
Mm. That being said, honey, don't do it. Just
there are other ways to make money.
Study hard.
Become a Twitch streamer, honey.
Study hard. Get a job. Honestly, you hear that all the time. It's like you can get a job making 13 bucks an hour, busting your ass, right? Being like a waitress. And by the way, I don't think that's 13 bucks an hour. You get tips or whatever, you know, you work your ass off. But you see some of these, people and it's like, I made 60 grand last month. And they're like, what did you do? I took pictures of myself. And you're like, oh my gosh. You're like, what? How exactly did that happen? And that's the scary part is that I think you're going to see a lot of young people that are like, oh, that's what I'm going to do. And first off, not everyone's going to make a bunch of money doing it. And I do think that there's some really negative repercussions. I think a lot of people are going to look back on that and be like, ooh, yeah, I kind of wish I hadn't done that. But think about when you were young, man. Think about all the dumb crap you did that you wish you hadn't done. Problem is now when you do that, it stays online forever.
I was a perfect child. What are you talking about?
Yeah. There's a photo somewhere of me wearing like a sweatshirt with no pants and a Coors Light can strategically placed. That's floating around out there.
Yeah, but is that gonna really hurt you, Suk? That kind of fits into the general Jason Sukanikness.
But
you know?
Still, I wish I could have gotten paid. I didn't get any money for that. That was just me doing something stupid because I was like 18. Now, when you do something stupid like that, it's like, hey, here's $1,000. I understand why it's very alluring to people. That being said, stay in school. Don't be nude on the internet. Just don't. Unless someone offers you a bunch of money, then whatever. Who am I to tell you? By the way, we didn't get to anything there.
Well, it's because that's what we do. You want to talk some football?
Yeah,
we'll talk football.
We'll talk some
football. We got a segment before in the news. You got 15 more minutes or 10 minutes.
No more OnlyFans talk. Damn it, Mike. You derailed me. I don't even know how we got on that, but I promise you.
You were talking about kids yelling and.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know where we got onto that, though.
Yeah, you brought it up. I was just talking about a ruckus.
We were talking about the Masters. How did we get from the Masters to that? I don't know.
I don't know. Football talk. We come back. Prime time here on a Friday.
This is a Masters Week edition of Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
You okay over there, Suk? The segment started.
Welcome back in. Yes, Mike, I am doing okay.
You talked in my ear. Why? And like, yeah. The music's running out and I played the liner and you're just sitting there.
Yeah. I was reading something. I was enthralled.
You're not used to having to start the segment. You're used to somebody talking first.
That is true. It is a little bit weird. Like,
and I also like how you thought I was talking to you in your ear, not on the air.
Well, it is a little strange. Yeah, you're right in that it's one of those things that a lot of times we're coming back from break. Yeah, because during the break, believe it or not, I am usually reading something. So either you're reading through an injury report or you got a box score or you're looking at something on Twitter, you know,
or Pornhub,
Pornhub, we know. You know, whatever, you know, it's more now looking at like puppies, I'm like looking at like Akita puppies. Like,
oh, that's right. Because you're being forced into it.
Yeah. I'm looking at like breeder puppies. I found myself watching more and more like Akita training videos. I realized that sooner than later, I'm going to end up with a bear in my house. I'm going to end up with like this 140 pound, like monster bear dog. And I got to figure out like what the hell to do with it. So now I'm just watching like a bunch of like videos of like people like horror stories of like, you better train this dog or else. So it's like that. Like, I'm not looking at porn anymore. I'm just like looking at dog videos.
Well, it's like dog porn.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, dog porn. What are you watching?
You know what I mean?
It's disturbing, Michael. Nice week coming up in the NFL. I just think it's a pretty good slate. Thought Thursday night was good. And now we're getting to the point in the season where I think you're going to start to get some separation. Where I don't think you're going to get teams that are going to establish themselves as elite. I think at this point in the season, we know who the handful of elite teams are. And by the way, there's really not many of them, right? Can't we all agree at this point in the NFL season that Kansas City, to me, is a cut above everyone else? I think Kansas City is in a class by themselves. Doesn't mean that they're going to win a Super Bowl. We're so quick to just, oh, well, no one can beat Kansas City. Well, yeah, you can. You saw the Raiders do it. And we've seen Kansas City struggle a couple times this year.
Should have lost the Chargers.
Should have lost the Chargers. And what were the Chargers able to do? They were able to play coverage and rush four. In this league, if you can rush four, get to the quarterback, play coverage behind it, you can beat anyone. The Giants won two Super Bowls doing that this way. The Giants had no business playing with the Patriots other than the fact that Tuck and Strahan and those guys, Umaniora, those guys were better than the Patriots up front. That's the only position group that was better than New England's was their defensive line. And you won two Super Bowls that way with some timely plays on the offensive line. So you can't tell me that someone can't beat Kansas City, but they are the best team. And I honestly don't think it's really that close. I think there is a gap between Kansas City and everyone else. I think when you look at Pittsburgh, despite what you saw with Dallas last week, I think that was a vintage case of you have a big emotional win, right? You beat Baltimore and there's going to be a letdown. It happens. Anytime you play a big physical rugged game and you have a big win in college or the NFL, there's always that chance that you have a bit of the letdown. But I think Pittsburgh is the next most complete team. And I even think Pittsburgh, I think, is still kind of in that you like Pittsburgh, but you don't. I wouldn't consider them elite.
I'm like waiting for the other shoe to drop on Pittsburgh for some reason. I don't know why, because I've watched them play almost every week.
They don't have many holes.
They don't.
They have a good O-line. They have a very good defense. They blitz. Bush being out at the linebacker position hurts them a little bit, but it's a solid team without any sort of giant glaring
hole. Is it weird that I don't fully trust them, though?
No, because that's why I said there's not another elite team. Kansas City, to me, is the only team in the NFL right now that I can say that I wholeheartedly trust. I think Seattle's very good. I think Pittsburgh's very good. I think Baltimore's good. Buffalo, I think what they did against Seattle is leading me to believe that you can trust them a little bit. But, you know, look at their 7-2. Do you really trust Buffalo? Their defense isn't very good. They can't run the ball worth a damn. And Josh Allen, you know, it's
up and down.
It's up and down. It's hit or miss. And then in the NFC, I like Green Bay. I don't think Green Bay is anywhere near elite.
Green Bay has two good players on offense. Well, three, if you count Aaron Rodgers. Two good skill players.
Well,
and Adams and Jones. Everybody else is like, well.
I think they're a little better than that. But, and they can rush the quarterback a little bit, and they have some good secondary guys.
I'm talking about offensively, yeah. Though. Yeah, their defense is fine.
But their defense, when you look at the numbers, isn't fantastic. I think they have some good individual parts. New Orleans, I wouldn't have said before last week that I particularly trust, but then they go out and they blow out Tampa, and we're going to say that New Orleans now has arrived. No, New Orleans has a huge Achilles heel in that their quarterback struggles, and he's only going to get worse as the year goes on because, well, he's old as dirt. Tampa, we thought, was an elite team. Why? Because they had a good offense and a defense, and they laid a giant egg against New Orleans.
Well, 2 weeks in a row, they laid a giant egg.
Yes, then haven't looked good at all.
They won 2 weeks ago, but they played horrible against the Giants.
And Seattle has an elite offense.
And maybe the worst defense in the league.
Yes. And by the way, Seattle has some serious injuries going on. You look at Griffin, Dunbar, Posek are all out. Got a couple D linemen that are doubtful that are probably going to be out. Your two best backs don't look good. Game time decisions, but chances are they're not going to play either.
For the third week in a row.
Oh, and by the way, when you lost your starting center and you're playing against the best defensive lineman in the NFL, which is a bit of a problem. So, I mean, there's some serious issues there in Seattle. And if you're Seattle, this is a big game because you're trying to have a bounce back because you just got done laying by far your biggest egg of the season against Buffalo. And you're trying to get your defense back on track. Well, it was never on track. You're trying to get your defense to play some sort of semblance of reasonable ball, but you can't keep anyone healthy. And so if you're Seattle, that you like their chances and that you have a guy in Russell Wilson and really good offensive talent when healthy, but there's a big, huge question mark over Seattle. So that get back to asking the question of who is elite outside of Kansas City, who indeed is elite? Because I don't think there is one. No, I don't think there's another elite team. I think there's Kansas City, and then there's probably three or four teams that I consider kind of tier two that I think are solid teams without a lot of holes. And there's probably another four or five that I just consider good teams that on any given week can knock someone off.
All of those teams that you just mentioned as teams that were doing well in either conference outside of the Chiefs are huge question marks in many, many areas of their team. The only one that I would put close to KC right now is Pittsburgh, and I don't even trust them fully, but they have played incredibly well, obviously.
They haven't
lost a game yet, but they haven't shown too many holes. Their running game is a little bit inconsistent, And Juju Smith-Schuster's having a weird year, and Big Ben is off and on hurt and good and bad. But
he's got a bum elbow right now.
But, I mean, it's the Steelers, and you trust Mike Tomlin, and you trust Pittsburgh generally to play well in these seasons. You're right. It's Kansas City. And just because of that, they're going to lose in the first round of the playoffs, and we're going to be left with a cluster of teams, especially because we have 14 this year in the playoffs, maybe 16 if they start losing games. It's going to be a gigantic cluster of who's good.
Yes.
Now, there's still plenty of time left to have one of these teams kind of take that last step up and put themselves firmly in the echelon of maybe being an elite team. But frankly, I'm not sure who would even be at this point outside of, I guess, the Steelers. I mean, you mentioned all the NFC teams. I don't trust the Saints.
No.
The Bucs, I thought I trusted, but they've looked pretty bad the last 2 weeks.
The Bucs, to me, are the
Seahawks defense is so bad. I love their offense, but I don't even know if a marginal improvement for the Seahawks defense is going to make too much of a difference. The Cardinals and Rams both have a potential to kind of get up there if they play more consistently, but the Rams have played nobody, and the Cardinals look really good some weeks, and then, you know, you talk well about the Dolphins, but lose to the Dolphins last week. I don't trust. And that makes the season fun. It means there's a lot of games that you don't know what's going to happen, but in the playoffs, it might mean for a little bit of uglier games, too.
Yeah, like, I think Seattle's the best team in their division, but we know that the Cardinals and I think the Rams both have an opportunity to knock them off, right? I think you can say that about it. I think the Raiders are better than people give them credit for. I think the Raiders are a tough out, and they've already beat Kansas City. And so you're sitting there, the Raiders at 5-3, and I know the Raiders aren't, you know, any sort of elite team, but they've proven that they can beat Kansas City. When the Raiders are on their best, that is a game that as a one or a two seed, you don't want to see in an opening round of a playoff if it goes 16, you know, teams, or, you know, the two seed, if the Rams end up being that team, or excuse me, the Raiders end up being that team that a two or a three seed has to see in week one, you know, that can be a problematic. And then you look at the Colts and the Titans, whoever ends up winning that division, the other team is going to get in. You're going to get two from there. And again, I think both Indianapolis and Tennessee, with their physical rugged style of play, I think they can give people problems. I think this is fun because to me, it's more wide open than I can remember. I think there's always parity in the NFL, but this year it certainly seems more than ever that it's just kind of a toss up. And I think that's fun. In the NFC, I think Tampa looks like they have more pieces than everyone else. If you want to say who's going to rise up in the NFC to be kind of that dominant team that we say, okay, this is the one to fear, and there's plenty of time left for them to get hot. Just from an individual standpoint, I think it's Tampa Bay. But boy, they have laid some big, giant eggs this year where you look at them and you're like, what? You can't score against the Bears. You have that god-awful performance against the Saints where there's no excuse for it. So their ceiling may be the highest, but God, their floor, it's basement during ladies' lingerie week down there, and it's bad.
And just a note on the Chiefs as well, you brought up the loss to the Raiders. That's their only loss. And we mentioned their close loss to the Chargers. They also were only up by one score late in the game against both the Bills and the Panthers.
Yeah.
Last week, they only won by two. Now, it was a late touchdown that made it a two-point game. But middle of the fourth quarter, they were only up by a touchdown on both of those teams. So they may be the most elite team, and I agree that they are, but they're not infallible.
No.
I mean, they have shown that they're going to play some close games against teams that you might not even think are that good, like the Panthers. You're 3-6. I mean, what are the Panthers that good? No.
No.
But you only won by 2 points against Carolina.
A big one for Seattle. That's to kind of bring it forward, though. I'm interested in the Seattle Rams game. This needs to be a bounce back game for Seattle, but it's not good when you've got, what, eight guys that you're counting on, like eight significant players that don't practice on Friday. For all the injury talk that we have around the other teams in the league, remember, Seattle has been dealing with this all year too. Not to the level of Philadelphia, not to the level of San Francisco or anything like that. But if you're a Seahawks fan and you're looking for a bit of a spin on this, a bright side, I don't think we've seen the best that Seattle has to offer. Now, maybe on the defense that it's a moot point and the best is still dog crap and it's not going to get better. But that's the thing I hold on to if I'm Seattle, is you just haven't seen this team at their full complement. And if they get healthy at the right time and can get that defense playing just middle of the road, Seattle becomes a very, very scary team. This one with the Rams worries me, though. With the way the Rams have been running the ball pretty good, creative on offense, and with your starting center being out and facing Aaron Donald, it's going to be a tough test. It's going to be a good one for Seattle.
Is Cooper Kupp going to catch for 300 yards and 8 touchdowns?
Yeah, they're going to challenge you. They're going to spread you out, and Sean McVay is going to have a plan against that Seahawks defense because, well, everyone has a plan against the Seahawks defense, and it's score a bunch of points and get a bunch of yards because their defense is terrible right now. All right, we come back in the news. Shut down Brown at it again. Here, though, Lynch with SportsCenter.
Where have you guys been?
This is a Masters Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
Welcome back in. It is 4:39, November 13th in the year of our Lord, 2020.
Is it the year of our Lord?
Yeah, right? Hey, the Lord can be vengeful. You ever read the Bible? Some spooky stuff in there, my man. One passage in there, some kids mock one of the prophets for being bald, and he sends a bear down, and the bear kills the kids.
Oh.
Seems awful reactionary.
Cool.
Like, geez. Holy Old Testament there. Dial it back a notch or two. So yes, I am saying it is the year of our Lord 2020. It is 4:40, and that means it is time for In the News. I am not your noted newsman. I am just your notable news contributor filling in.
And I am your weekend anchor here for you today.
Yes, no Isaac Robb, who is home with the sniffles. possibly having to do with the Masters sniffles. We don't know.
Well, to be honest, hopefully I don't think it could Monday. Be because they suspended the play at like 3:45.
No,
so
yeah,
if really he good. Was out for the Masters sniffles, he didn't do a very good job of it.
Yeah, he's not feeling very good. No. So we're hoping it's just, you know, people, that's the other thing. People do get sick.
Yeah.
You can get sick without COVID.
I mean, I have some allergies right now because the weather changed so drastically. It got super cold. I got a little allergies.
But. Yeah, he's feeling a little crappy, so he's doing the smart thing. He's sitting this one out. So, Rob, get better. Hopefully, we'll see you on Monday. It is National Indian Pudding Day. Do you know what Indian pudding is?
Nope.
Anybody? Should we look that up?
Googling right now.
Indian pudding?
Is a baked custard with milk, butter, molasses, eggs, spices, and cornmeal.
It looks delicious, by the way. Is that just like bread pudding?
It's like cornbread pudding.
Boy, I'll tell you what. Am I missing out on Indian pudding this entire time? This looks really damn good.
You can put ice cream on it. You can put maple syrup on it. Heavy cream. Cinnamon.
Can I tell you that a good bread pudding is criminally underrated for desserts?
Oh, you think it's underrated? I think bread pudding is great.
I don't think anyone, whenever one's not talking about dessert, no one brings up bread pudding.
It's nobody's favorite.
You get your cakes, you get your pies.
My brownie sundae.
Sure, you get your brownies, you get your tarts, all that. And then the bread pudding's just over here on its own. But you get a delicious bread pudding. Now, I know that this place is not, it's not dynamite by any stretch of the imagination. It's a TGI McScratchy's. But occasionally we'll head over to the Black Bear Diner and just do desserts. That's all. They have a bunch of desserts and they make little mini pies and everything. And they do a decent job, right? So we'll go over there, just sit down for dessert. And if you go at night, everything's always sold out. Oh, we're out of pie. Oh, we're out of this. The bread pudding is always available. And the bread pudding is the best dessert they have. It's just this big, gooey hunk of warm deliciousness with ice cream on top. It's wonderful.
Another place that does a great bread pudding, but they only do it seasonally, is the Thirsty Lion.
Really?
Yeah, they have a great bread pudding. It's a special dessert. And every once in a while, they'll do it with bacon lardons on it. Mm. And oh my sprons. It is so good.
Hey, Mike, show, why don't we head on over to the... Oh, wait! We can't.
Well, we can.
Oh, it's not till Wednesday.
Yes.
Oh, it's actually it's National Kindness Day. So, be nice to someone.
No.
Shutdown Brown has she's at it again.
Yep.
She has issued her strictest restrictions, I should say, since the March shutdown, which, by the way, the March shutdown came on Friday the 13th in March. When does this next shutdown begin? Friday the 13th.
Really?
November.
That's interesting.
Yes. The big shutdown order came on Friday the 13th. And here we are again. Thanks a lot, 2020. We got a 2-week corona. We're not calling it a shutdown. They're calling it a freeze.
Yep. 2 weeks for everybody but Multnomah County.
Yeah, there's a couple counties, Multnomah being one of them.
Oh, it's multiple?
Okay. Yeah, where they're saying that it's going to be, and this is the fun part, at least 4. So this starts on Wednesday. So.
Question.
Yeah.
I understand giving a little bit of notice. Why wait 5 days? If it's at the level that it's at where they want to freeze it, 5 days seems like an awful lot. Now, I understand giving restaurants a chance to kind of switch up and go back to takeout only and do all the decisions they have to make. And the same goes for malls and stores and all that kind of stuff. But 5 days.
Yeah, I mean, it's the only thing I can assume, because they did this every time they've put on restrictions, they've given you ample time. My guess is to just work out, scheduling, and, you can't go from zero to, you don't want to slam on the brakes.
Right.
Right? Slamming on the brakes, you get a little whiplash. My guess is you just ease into this like an old man slipping into a bath. All right, when we come back, let's just get into it, because look, it's the biggest story of the day, and I understand why we have to do it, but some of the ramifications of this are going to be bad, especially as we gear up towards the holiday season. So when we come back, we'll talk the freeze, aka the shutdown, in the news when we come back.
This is a Masters Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
Welcome back in. We're in the middle of In the News, and I wish I had better news for you, but let's just be honest. This is just a big S sandwich, and everyone's going to have to take a bite. We're over 1,000 cases, by the way. That's 2 days in a row, setting a new record. We had 1,122 confirmed cases today.
Remember when we were at the 100s, and we were like, oh, we're doing pretty well.
Yep. 351 of those confirmed or suspected are in Multnomah County. That sets another daily record for that. And more of these cases are trending towards the Portland metropolitan area. That is not good news. And so in response to that, we have a new shutdown order or a freeze that is going to go into effect on Wednesday. And in most counties, it is going to last 2 weeks. In Multnomah County and some others, they said it's going to last up to 4 weeks. What does that mean? I mean, the big one here is bars and restaurants will be back to takeout only, which we were at the beginning of this thing. So, that's just, it's going to be an absolute crusher there. Also, gyms and indoor entertainment venues, that is going to go away. So gyms are going to have to be shuttered down. Indoor entertainment venues, I'm not exactly certain what all that means.
I'm assuming like bowling alleys or movie theaters or arcades.
So indoor entertainment venues and otherwise limit social gatherings to no more than 6 people from 2 households maximum. The Multnomah County will be froze for at least 4 weeks. And there's some other things like hair salons, I guess, are immune to this. Churches are able to gather, but no more than 25 people.
Or 50 outdoors.
Or 50 outdoor. But who's having outdoor church? What I also don't understand is if you put the tent up outdoors, is that considered outdoors? Because you're in a tent. So it's outdoors, but it's indoors.
I think there needs to be airflow into it as if it was outdoors, even if you're protecting from the rain. I think that's how like restaurants are doing it too, because you can't just have indoor dining with people all over the place. So they've got the tents up, but you keep a couple of flaps open here and there to kind of let the air flow in and out. I think that's the most important part. Okay. I know gyms are closing again too.
Yeah, gyms are closed. It will not apply to barbershops, hair salons, homeless shelters, outdoor recreation and sports programs, including Pac-12 college football games are also exempt, which again, I don't fully understand. Similarly, child programs in K-12 schools are not included in the new freeze, although I think most K-12 schools and childcare programs
are online only
anyways, although yeah. I guess maybe in some other parts of the state they're going to be open. I think locally, most of those are still operating on remote learning. Order stipulate gatherings, both indoor and outdoor, should be limited to 6 people. Again, that goes back to no more than 2 households together. I'm trying to think. Grocery and retail stores will be capped at 75% of normal capacity, and the state encourages people to use curbside pickup when possible. We also know that Washington, California, and Oregon are requesting a 14-day quarantine for people entering the state or if you leave the state and come back in. Although, again, to asking people to quarantine,
it's voluntary.
It's voluntary.
It's not mandatory.
Yeah, it's not mandatory. So, I mean, the big one here, obviously, I think when you look at this is restaurants, right? And most people are now saying, I've read multiple different articles saying that this is going to be another massive layoff. That, you know, these restaurants that were holding on by the skin of their teeth and now having to shut down for 2 weeks, 4 weeks, possibly more than that, you're just about to see another massive layoff and businesses closing their doors. And
at a time where there was already questions about how they would survive the winter months, because you can't really do outdoor seating here in the winter months.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just going to make it that much worse. It's tough because like I kind of agree with you, Suk. It's like what you've been saying for months is there's a balance here, right? You obviously don't want people to get sick or get people sick to spread to other people who can die. You don't want hospital beds and ICUs to be filled up to capacity, which they are getting close in this state, right? You said 90%.
Yeah, they're saying across Oregon. Now, locally here, I think it's slightly better. But across Oregon, they said that ICU beds are approaching 90% full and that we are at kind of that moment where we could be achieving crisis levels here.
Right. So you obviously need to stop that and slow that down. So you have to make some moves that will help stop that, and that includes things that people are doing outside together, or inside together, I guess I would say, out and about indoors together. You need to stop that too, but you don't want all these businesses to close, and you don't want them to be hurting. You don't want people to lose their jobs again. I don't understand how you can find that balance in a way that doesn't hurt somebody.
Yeah, and this is, you know, right? Someone is texting in right now, and it's true. 90% are not full with COVID patients. That is, but the bottom line is when ICU beds are operating normally at, let's say, 60 or 65% capacity, and then you have a wave of corona patients. So, yes, let's make that clear. They are not 90% full with just corona patients. But the point is, when they're out of beds and COVID is raging and all of a sudden you need beds and you don't have them for corona patients and, by the way, for people that need ICU beds for normal things. That was at the very beginning of this whole thing. We were told that you were not going to stop people from dying. It was a pandemic. People were going to lose their lives. And you tried to minimize that, but your thing was to not overwhelm the healthcare system. Well, if you look around the country, that's what people are saying now is, again, we are in that critical mass point where we could be getting ready to overwhelm. And that's when you end up with the horrible situations like we had in New York, which you had in Italy, where people are literally saying, hey, you can't come in right now because we have to make triage decisions about who we can treat because we're out of resources. And then you get into PPP shortage. And so, yeah, you're right in that you have this horrible thing happening here with a shortage of beds and medical care. But at the same time, how many businesses is this going to absolutely shutter? There was a lady here in the Oregonian that was reading. Her name was Katie Connors. She's on the advisory board for the Independent Restaurant Alliance. She said this is going to be devastating. She said there are going to be many restaurants that they will not be able to survive even a 2-week closure, let alone 4 weeks or more. She said so many of these restaurants rely on holidays to build up their money and needed the holidays to make up for the horrid year they've had. And now not only are you shuttering them outside of takeout, but any of those holiday parties where you get the big groups coming in, those are all canceled. And they
Those were canceled anyway.
Yeah. But hopefully. They said that they expect about 80% of remaining restaurant, bars, and workers. Realize this. That's a group that almost made up 11% of the state's labor force. And she's saying that she expects about 80% of the remaining restaurant and bar workers to be laid off within the next month. And there's no safety net. We don't have the PPP money coming in. You know, we already know that the unemployment claims, you know, how hard that is to get through. Plus, during the holiday months, there's no safety net. This is really, really scary on a lot of different fronts.
And I guess my whole point with this is there are no easy decisions here, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can disagree with the shutdown. You can agree with the shutdown. But it's not like this was an easy choice for Kate Brown or any governor across the country who's having to make decisions like this. Because I'm sure in other states, you said Utah is in a state of emergency. North Dakota's doing terribly with this. Idaho's doing terribly with this. Some of those states are more lax than we have been. But any decision being made is not easy in this situation. There's not a right decision. There's just let's hope for the best.
I just know that this is bad. And I hate thoughts and prayers because what the hell do thoughts and prayers do?
But absolutely nothing.
They don't do anything. My absolute heart goes out because I've said it along. I don't want anyone to get sick and I don't want anyone to die. I don't want it. I don't want my coworkers to get it. I don't want my family to get it. I don't want my listeners to get it. I don't want anyone to get it. And I don't want to see anyone, no matter how old you are, what underlying conditions you have, I don't want to see anyone ill and die from this. But at the same time, my heart absolutely breaks for how many businesses out there that are just holding on, and this may be the death blow. Or how many people staring Christmas in the face right now with another unemployment thing looming for you. It just absolutely sucks. And
this all sucks.
And I'm not saying that it's in this in any political way. It is an absolute embarrassment the way we've handled this. As a country, it is absolutely embarrassing that we are this many months into it and we have zero progress being made, and then we're actually worse off than we were 7 months ago, and everyone is going to pay for it, and it absolutely sucks. So, you know, if you can support local. If you can afford to do takeout. If you can afford to tip people and just keep people in the forefront of your mind to try to help out in any way you can, because this is going to be a stretch here that's going to be tough for a lot of people, whether it's 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks. There's going to be a lot of people feeling this right now from all different walks of life. So, all right. Wish we had better news, but There just isn't anything good about that in any shape or form from an economic standpoint, business standpoint, or a health standpoint. It's just all bad. We come back. We'll try to, be a little bit of distraction here, talk a little sports, have some laughs. Joey Harrington joins us at 5:30. We'll set your DVR. And then, of course, Club 1080 here on a Friday.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.